Welcome, friends. So happy you can join us for episode 106. In this free podcast episode, we will be exploring conservatism. And today we pay special attention to financial matters. To what extent do conservatives agree on the economy? Before we start, though, I want to remind you about our previous pods on conservatism. Conservatism and Human Nature, episode 79. Conservatism and the State, episode 26. Conservatism and Society, way back when, in episode 5. If you subscribe to Plus Plus Plus, and the deets on how to do so if you don't are in the show notes, you can listen to all of these and the entire back catalogue to boot, or 106 episodes. Plus, you'll receive 2 additional bonus pods each month, which will appear automatically in your podcast feed. Do it. You won't regret it. Well, if you do regret it anyway, you can cancel at any time. Righto, conservatives, economy, let's get going. When it comes to any essay on conservatism, you have to remember there are 3 main strands here. Traditional conservatism, one nation conservatism, and new right conservatism. Now, the new right conservative strand has 2 sub-strands, neoconservatives and neoliberals. And for the purposes of this question, to what extent are conservatives united in their view of the economy, this is really important because neoliberals are the real outlier here. They have a completely different view on the economy, especially since they do not share the same ideas of imperfect human nature, organic society, and the role of the state, which the other strands and substrands do, leading them to support a completely different type of economic model. Thus, we can say that conservatives mostly agree about the economy, with the exception of the neoliberal component of the new right. Now, long-time listeners of the show and veterans of the ISMS podcasts, liberalism, conservatism, socialism, feminism, ideologies podcasts that I've recorded will know that I prefer students plan their essays using the disagree sandwich model. And that means that if my direction is, and it is, that this particular ism on the economy, conservatism, largely agree, and I think that conservatives largely or mostly do agree on the economy, then I will explain why in my first chunky paragraph, and then I will have the counter argument in my middle paragraph, that the filling of the sandwich, if you like, and then I will dismiss that and come back to my main argument that they mostly agree in my third chunky paragraph before my conclusion, tying it all up. So my first paragraph is going to be showing how different strands agree, how they find agreement on the economy. And I'm going to really focus on 2 strands in this particular paragraph, this particular segment of the podcast. And I think it is really important that your essays are strand led. So pick 2 strands, whether you're doing feminism, you might talk about radical feminism versus liberal feminism, for example, in one paragraph, and then go on to the other strands in other paragraphs. But for this paragraph on conservatism, I'm going to be talking about traditional and new right conservatives and how they find agreement on the economy. So both neoconservatives, remember that's a substrand of new right conservatism, and traditional conservatives believe in something called imperfect human nature, i.e. that we are all flawed. For Hobbes, a strong central authority, which would inevitably need to be funded by taxation, would provide the kind of certainty that humans require. Hobbes said, life without a state would be short, nasty, and brutish. For neoconservatives, too much economic independence could lead to individuals doing their own thing. And this kind of situation does not fit with the kind of anti-permissive society that neoconservatives want. Consequently, both traditional and neoconservatives would be wary of low taxation, since humans could not necessarily be trusted to run their own affairs. An economy that is regulated by a strong central authority is thus preferable to for these 2 strands. Mm. now I'm going to come on to my disagreement paragraph, the filling in the sandwich, if you like. One Nation Conservatives and neoliberals do not share similar views on the state's role in the economy. Nozick described taxation as forced labour. Ayn Rand and her objectivism theory sees humans as atomistic, i.e. that they are rational and capable of acting on their own. Consequently, neoliberals do not see a big role for the state in interfering with the money people make, while One Nation Conservatives take a more paternalistic approach instead. They have over years favoured Keynesian economics to ensure full employment, for example, which would require a much more active role for the state in the economy. They do so out of fear of revolution and chaos brought about by rapid industrial change. If there was no safety net, as advocated by neoliberals, society, One Nation Conservatives say, would begin to break down and create conditions for revolution, something One Nation Conservatives really want to prevent. On the other hand, meanwhile, neoliberals believe that a state that interferes too much in economic freedom, i.e. one that taxes too much, is not one that has a justification to exist and should indeed be removed and replaced with a more libertarian one. For neoliberals, humans are not dependent on one another. According to Nozick, humans only become dependent because of one nation paternalistic approaches to welfare and the economic tax burdens needed to fund that welfare, which inhibit the natural urge of humans to stand on their own two feet in a market economy. So for Nozick, for neoliberals, humans can cope and indeed thrive in a libertarian society and economy. They want to brush aside the social conservatism of other conservatives. And if we go further on this disagreement paragraph, I'm now going to move on to traditional conservatives and the new right, because those two strands also might agree when it comes to state interference in the economy. Burke spoke of little platoons, people basically, groups of people who help shape an organic society. These could be your librarians, or they could be your volunteers at a bake sale. And he speaks of these little platoons who foster an organic society. And an organic society is one that is naturally occurring and focuses on local institutions and local people and interdependent relationships. These arrangements help avoid an anomy. Anomy is another word for isolation. So for traditional conservatives, isolation is not a good thing. Without state support for these local services in order to reduce taxes, you could then end up with anomy. What I mean is sometimes an organic society might need a bit of help. So you might need to fund the library, for example. So the withdrawal of that state support in the name of tax reductions could result in that isolation. But for Rand, anomy is acceptable and a natural condition of human nature, but not for Burke and not for traditional conservatives. Nozick's support for a mini-archist state, as small a state as possible, basically, envisages laissez-faire attitudes towards state intervention in the economy. Now, traditional conservatives might fear the rapid change caused by this approach, and they believe that laissez-faire economics might distort the delicate balance that the organic society seeks to create by removing support for these little platoons. They aren't against all change, our traditional conservatives in the economy, but only if that change is a change to conserve and based on what works, or what some people might call empirical evidence or pragmatism. Oakeshott emphasised the importance of routines in people's daily lives and how those traditions and routines in society create order and surety. Too much unpredictability in the economy would run counter to that stability that Oakeshott and traditional conservatives so desire. Hence why there is certainly disagreement between traditional conservatives and the neoliberals when it comes to the state's role in the economy, with neoliberals on the one hand advocating an ideologically driven, fast-paced, rapid change in the economy that removes state interference, and traditional conservatives on the other hand accepting change only if it is gradual and proven to work. Yet, ultimately, I'm arguing that there is more agreement than disagreement, and that the disagreement really rests with the neoliberals versus all the other strands. One Nation Conservatives and neoconservatives can find common ground on the economy too. Both strands support the existence of a natural hierarchy, and that affects both their attitudes to wealth and to the structure of the economy. Human beings, because they are flawed, seek interdependence with one another, and the hierarchy can only exist when all in society recognise their responsibilities to one another. It is why Hobbes accepted, like the liberal John Locke, a social contract. It is why One Nation Conservatives support noblesse oblige, the idea that the rich have a responsibility to the poor, and that could be through, say, higher taxation for the rich. These positions lead to both strands supporting a society of one, natural inequality, and that includes economic equality because they believe in hierarchy, but also two, an economy with some safeguards for the poor owing to these responsibilities that they both emphasise. Thus, there are large similarities between most strands of conservatives when it comes to the economy. This is because of a shared cynicism that humans can be left alone and that extends to economic matters. It is also driven by fear of drastic economic change and a need to take pragmatic steps when going about that economic change. Most conservatives worry that drastic economic change could harm communities and society more broadly. Yet the neoliberals, admittedly, stand alone from the pack since they place greater emphasis on human rationality and care less about the impact of deregulation, privatisation and removing safety nets, since for them the individual is king. As Thatcher said, there is no such thing as society, only individuals and their families. These are words that would not be supported by traditional conservatives or One Nation conservatives, and indeed by some neo-conservatives. So there you have it. That's it for today's episode. We hope you enjoyed the show. My advice is to try writing a question on conservatives and the economy, and let me know how you get on by tweeting me. I'm at Nick D'Souza. You'll have about 30 minutes for a 24-mark question in the exam, so it is important to simulate exam conditions in order to speed up your writing or typing and to get a feel for how much you'll be able to write in that time. A good ping pong player doesn't read about ping pong. They play it. They simulate it. So do the same with your exams. And while you're doing that, I'm off to get two new kittens. I'll introduce them to you next time. Until then, take care, folks. Bye.